I wonder if you've ever had an epiphany, or you've ever had like a theophany, a moment when you encountered God, or you've ever had one of those moments you were like, ah, now I get it. Maybe it was the first time you seen a baby clutch your little finger. Maybe it was the first time that you realized that Jesus actually loved you and you had an encounter and a conversion and you decided to follow Jesus. Or maybe it was this morning and when you woke up and the temperature was lower than it normally is and you smelled the air for a change, you're like, aha! Now I know why I moved to Florida. My name's Keith Harcum. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are starting our series on aha moments. Moments where you have an epiphany. A moment where you have a theophany, a place where you get to a place in your life and it's like, aha, now I get it. Now I understand what it means to do this one thing. In the Bible, there are many different epiphanies. We have a whole season in the old church calendar called Epiphany, when people realize who Jesus is. And we have theophanies, when people realize who God is, or God visits them, and people are able to listen because they have ears to hear. Sometimes you'll have just a moment where you're like, ah, now I understand. And everyone says, aha, now I know what it means. What is your epiphany? What theophany have you had where you encountered God, where it changed your mind a little? Where what went on in your mind actually moved the 11 inches all the way down to your heart. Maybe it was something in your heart that motivated your head. A theophany, an epiphany, a moment that meant you go, aha, now I understand. For me, it was a culmination of all three. An epiphany, a theophany, a moment when I went, aha. And it was about a trip I took down to Cuba with a few people from my first church, Wellspring. We had a partner church down in Cuba, in this little place called Bayamo. It's in the southeast of Cuba. And we flew all the way to Santiago. And in Cuba, there's lots of barriers and boundaries and things that you need to break through in order just to arrive in Cuba. And we went through all these different processes to get through, have the right passes, have the right religious visas. We paid for our luggage that we were going to take in to get to Cuba. When we got to Cuba, we were greeted by a squeaky carousel that carried around our luggage. And people investigating everything that we had brought with us to bless the people of Cuba. They investigated our Bibles, made sure we didn't have any propaganda in there. But when we got through the airport, we got through the inquisitors, and we got through the different people that wanted us not to come out, we were greeted by our pastor. Pastor Adelmar was there with his wife, and they had a little car for us all to fit in. And they greeted us, and the Bishop of Cuba was there. He invited me to stay and take an appointment in Cuba. And everyone was just so excited that we had arrived. And we got in this little car. It was like kind of like a circus joke because we all fitted in the car, and then we did this odd game of Tetris on top of the car where we strapped all our luggage and bounced across Cuba from Santiago to Bayamo and hit every pothole on the way. It was a difficult journey. When we arrived in Bayamo, when we got to the Second Methodist Church in Bayamo, people greeted us. They were so excited. The pastor got every man and his dog to worship in his back garden. And the worship went on for ages, and it was such a joyful experience. experience. And it went on for like 2 hours. You think I preach long? Different people preach at different times for 2 hours. I never forget worshiping there with the people. They were so excited to be in worship together. The pastor had converted his backyard into the place of worship. The money that we'd been sending him to support him was in his backyard. That was the place where he had worship. He showed me how proud he was of these new chairs that he had so that people could sit relatively comfortably. And we worshiped. And Adelmar and his wife faithfully served this small church in Bayamo. We ate together. We had fellowship together. We were mutually encouraged and we were comforted by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That was nothing compared to Wednesday. On Wednesday, Adelmar had arranged a baptism service on the river, and 60 people joined in a 4-ton truck as we went all the way to the Bayamo River. On the way, they hit that cowbell a million times as they sang a million songs. They shook that tambourine so much, almost the little cymbals all fell off. When we got to the Bayamo River, somebody had been there cooking a hog for 5 hours before we got there. And they let the Americans eat first. We got in the river, and about 22 people were baptized and reaffirmed on that day. And everybody was gathered on the river. I was in the water with the other pastor, and everybody was gathered on the edge of the river, just singing constantly the same. May the Spirit of the Lord fill you. May the water wash over you. They just keep singing and worshiping as everybody. They didn't stop. The worship team in the church back at the Bayamo, they had a cowbell, a tambourine, and a keyboard. The worship team didn't bring it with them, but they pretended they had it with them. They said, we watch the Americans do it, and we're pretending to be like them with the same instruments. I was comforted, encouraged, and experienced the fellowship of the Holy Spirit like never before. All of us there had an epiphany. All of us there had a theophany. But me, personally, I had an aha moment. I had a moment that said, I will always go on mission. Amen? That's what we're about. That's how you exist today. Had people not gone on mission trips, had people not gone on mission all the way across of the United States on horseback and not preached the gospel, then we wouldn't be here, amen? I had an aha moment. I will always go on mission. But what is our foundation for going on mission, going on mission trips? Is it just so that we can travel around the world and travel to different places that we haven't seen yet? Is it just to get pictures so we can post it on our social media profiles? No, our foundation for mission is founded in here, in Genesis chapter 12, which Mark read for you this morning. You can go there. It's going to be in your Bible. If you've got a Bible with you, open it to the beginning, Genesis chapter 12. And we'll have it for you on the screen here as well. Here's the foundation for what we should do. Now, Abram is the founder of our entire faith. And he was the first person ever to go on a mission. He said, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So this is our foundation for going. Of course, Abram and his entire family, caravan of people, nomadic tribe, went all the way from Ur to a place where they didn't really know at first. He knew that his father was going to Canaan originally, and he'd stopped. So he went south from Ur. And what was his foundation for going? Here it is. This is the first theophany. Notice that Abram was listening. Abram had his ears turned on to what God was saying. Here's the theophany. I will go. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. That word there, bless, is barach in Hebrew. And barach means a couple of things. It means to bless one another. But it also means that we should be people who are wanting others to be blessed. We want to see the excellence in other people. We want to be a gift. And we want to benefit people's lives. So gift, look for the excellence in the other people and be a gift for other people's lives. Be a blessing to other people's lives. God said to Abram, this is what you're going to be, and I'm going to make your name great if you make my name great, if you amplify it, if you make my name known throughout this land that I'm sending to you. This is the foundation for where you will go. This is the foundation for what you will do. And then he says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. Make his name great, exalted, and amplify God. That was his foundation for going on his mission trip. So no matter where we're going, no matter where we're going to, whatever state we're going to, whatever country we're going to, whatever locale, we're to be a blessing, a help to people, not a curse to people. We're to help people in their communities and not do things that would bring the community down or even dependent upon our resources. And that's another topic for another day when helping hurts. How are we to bless people when we go to these communities? How are we to bless Cuba? How are we to bless our local ministries around here? And how are we to bless, indeed, our community that's just been affected by a Cat 4 hurricane in Cape Coral, Fort Myers, surrounding areas? How are we to bless them? So that's the foundation. All the families on earth will be blessed through. That's the foundation for why we go on mission trips. Well, what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, in the area that Abram went to was a really rough area. In fact, the Oak of Mamre is where he went. If you read further on, verse 4, the Oak of Mamre is where the Canaanites were. And the Canaanites would sacrifice things to other gods to hear from God. And at the Oak of Mamre, there was these different poles and worship centers. And when Abram went there, he set up an altar to who? To God, to Yahweh, and says, by the way, if you want to hear from God, you're going to hear from this God. So what we're supposed to do is we're to amplify our God to Yahweh, to glorify God, and to show others the kind of relationship that you could have with God, our God, the God of the Hebrews, the God of our church today. And this is the what we are meant to do. Amplify God's name. Amplify God's name is the next thing we're to do. And interesting, where he went to do this was the same place that Jacob's well was, where Jesus met the woman at the well, the one who was completely enamored by Jesus and decided to follow Jesus, which is right between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, the central place where God spoke to the Hebrews and indeed to the woman at the well. So this is where Abram goes. This is a foundational place for Hebrews and indeed for us as we go about mission. So we're to amplify God, we provide encouragement and comfort and fellowship, but where should we go? Acts 1:8 is another foundational text for us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you've seen it on the screen that Mark read for you today. It's when Jesus had just about to leave. And the disciples are like, hey, you're going to wrap this up or what? Are you going to come back and then tell everyone who you are and defeat everybody? And Jesus says, only God's got those dates and times. They're not for you to know. But you disciples, you will receive power when what comes upon you? The Holy Spirit. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it was just this one person or this one group of people, the Hebrews. Yeah, up until this particular point in Genesis, it was all about how the world was created and how amazing it was and what was going on in it. And then all of a sudden, the narrative of the Bible goes down to this one person and this one nation that's going to show others what it means to follow God. And now, in Acts 1, verse 8, when they ask Jesus, who was the culmination of the Hebrews, when they ask him, what's next? He says, who's next? You are. You're the people. You're the people that's going to go out to all these lands, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And this was the known world at the time. So this means that we're to go everywhere. We're to go all the worlds that we can. Of course, the United States wasn't discovered yet in this particular verse. They didn't know it existed. But he says you're to go out to all the lands. So that's Cuba. We have a partner in Cuba. That's to Japan. We partner with the people in Japan. And that's to like places in even in our locale, our regional missions, Kairos Ministry, the children's home. And it's locally as well. Feast, the food pantry over here was here last night to helping hands, helping with those who are poor. And to however else we can help in our community. And of course, there's our people that are suffering after a Cat 4 hurricane down in the southwest of Florida. These are the places we have to go. Now, we have this in our DNA. This is a part of who we are. This is a part of you, who you are, way before I got here. And it's that you have a commitment to missions. And we're going to put this on the screen in case you've forgotten what it means. Here it comes. Let's say this together as we pronounce one of our key values. Let's say this together. We care for our community through mission and service, pushing through obstacles and boundaries to connect people to Jesus. Don't matter where you go, whether it's international, whether it's regional, whether it's local, that's what we do here at Palm Harbor. Amen? And some of you have done that for many years. Some of you had a moment, had an aha moment, when you realized that, that's me. I should go. That's me. I can do this. And you don't have to climb on roofs and things. I can do this to support these organizations. And it's us. And where do we go? So we talked about our foundation for going. We talked about what we're to do, where we're to go. But why? Why should we go on these trips? I was on a ship a long time ago, and I was in a small fellowship group of sailors in a small cabin. And one of the guys said to me, your faith will always increase when you read the scripture out loud. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15 says this, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Faith comes by hearing, and sometimes by seeing that you care. We go because we want people to hear, amen? We want people to hear that the gospel is for them just as much it is for us. We go globally, and there's other ways we can go globally by packing shoeboxes. Some of you are a part of that. Operation Christmas Child is a big part of that. We go, we send globally. We support missionary in Japan. And regionally, we support organizations that we agree with, that we agree deeply with, the Kairos Prison Ministry, Children's Home. Of course, we have our partners in southwest of Florida with Grace Church and surrounding areas as we try and help the people affected down there. And locally, Feast, Helping Hands, ministries that are right here in our community that can help us understand, help us help those who are in need. It's called being missionaries. And the pros don't go on mission trips. Those with all the tools, those with all the know-how, it has to start right here, or right here. And when it starts here, it might go down here. I heard God. I heard God say to me something, and it's moved from my head to my heart. And when it gets in here, it does all sorts of funny things, right? When it gets in here, it helps us understand that actually it's me who God's calling. It's not Abram. It's not the disciples in Acts. It's actually me. And there's many ways that you can do that here at Palm Harbor. And so today, it's pretty simple. Go. Go on mission. Go and be a part of a people that tell people about God's love. There's other organizations you can partner with. There's other things that we can do, and people are real pros at it. But our purpose is that we go having the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. It's not just a cool thing to do. It's not doing it because everybody else is doing it, all the cool kids are doing it. It's because we feel it in our hearts, and we know, because we're following Jesus, that this is motivating us to do this. And if you want to go today, if you're the kind of people that want to go, we'd love for you to sign up. On each of the three areas, whether you want to go globally, whether you want to go to Cuba and see our friend down there, he emailed the other day, he would love to see somebody. Whether you want to be a part of what's going on regionally, of course, so we're going to take a team down to Southwest Florida again, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of December. If you would like to be a part of that small team, sign up in the lobby. If you want to go locally and you've never volunteered before, never been a part of that mission, sign up in a lobby. Three things: globally, regionally, and locally. That's where we're passionate about. And we want you to know that you can't do this unless the Holy Spirit is motivating you and dwelling in you for you to do this. The aha moment for you today is that you are to be committed to missions, is that you are to go out into the world and tell others about the great hope that you have. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you that you called us to go on mission. Thank you, Lord, that you called us to be a people who are following you. And because we are following you, Lord, we want others to know this too. We ask, Lord God, that we would be motivated by your Spirit. We ask, Lord, that we would be a blessing to those around us, that they would show other people your love. Guide us how we do this. Guide us how we do it internationally. Guide us how we do it regionally. Guide us how we do it locally. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all the missionaries in the church said, amen.